Today I'll be reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, and this is the word of the Lord. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by any other way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All those who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Amen.
So today we continue on in our series on the 7 I Am statements of the Gospel of John. You remember there are 4 Gospels, you know that. And 3 of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. And the 4th one is the Gospel of John. And John's Gospel reads in its own way. And so he is the only one who uses these 7 statements where Christ says, "I am." And we've looked at 2, and we are looking at the 3rd today. So I am the gate. Last week, I am the light. All of those statements, and there's more to follow. So staying close to the shepherd is the theme I want us to look at. Let's just read the I am the gate statement. It happens twice in our text, in verse 7 and then also in verse 9. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the shepherd." And then verse 9, "I am the gate, and whoever comes and enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture." So twice he says, "I am the gate." So that's what we want to try to understand today. The context is chapter 9, obviously, and it's about Jesus' healing of the blind man, and he does it on the Sabbath. So this man who has been blind since birth, Jesus touches him, he regains his sight, and the people are awed by this. However, the religious institutional folk at the time, Pharisees and scribes, instead of seeing this as a great work of God, they focus on the fact that Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And because he heals on the Sabbath, then they're saying that that's a work. You committed a work. And because of that work, you're not supposed to do it on this day. They would have preferred Jesus to have waited till the next day and then healed them then, but of course they probably would have attacked him on some other point at that point. So that's the issue. And the question that really arises here, well, who is actually seen and who is blind? Because the people rejoice that this blind man from birth now sees. But the religious folk are saying, "Oh, no, 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 you shouldn't have done this on a Sunday or a Sabbath, sorry, Saturday." So the issue then is, well, who's really seeing? The blind man sees, but the Pharisees and the scribes do not see. The question of who actually seen. So that's the context. Context goes back to chapter 9. And we note when Jesus begins here, he begins by saying, "Very truly I tell you," very truly. In the old King James, it's "verily, verily, amen, amen, I say to you." Most of the I am statements don't begin like this. They just jump right in. But here it's, "Very truly I tell you." He's making a point. "Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." So there's no pause between chapter 9 and chapter 10. So Jesus just jumps right in and he says this, "Very truly I tell you." I want you to get it. Because there are people who see the blind man who now sees, and they're critiquing. And so now I want to emphasize this point so you get it. So it emphasizes there. Just note that. Let's go back to that. Okay, so there is a sheep pen, and a shepherd, and sheep enter through the door. So obviously, that we're living 2,000 years later, and that figure of speech, Jesus says this figure of speech, it's not really a parable, but it's like a parable, is about a sheep pen. So we live in the city of Toronto, not too many sheep pens around here, obviously. So how do we understand this? So I have a couple of pictures of a couple. So here's one in the open field, because sometimes the sheep pen would be built in the open field. Here it's by stone, and the sheep go in. Note the shepherd is actually saying he's at the gate. So when Jesus says, I am the gate, he's referencing that he himself is the gate. He lies in that empty spot, and he's the gate. This gate doesn't have a door. The shepherd is the door. And what would happen is that different shepherds with different sheep would share the same sheep pen if it was out in the open. So the shepherds would go in through the gate there, right there. I think I have that right there. And they walk in with the sheep and the sheep follow. So when they want to go out in the morning, the shepherd goes in, calls the sheep by name, and he goes out or she goes out, and there his sheep or her sheep follow. That's what happens. Then another shepherd would go in, call their sheep by name, and then they would follow. So that's how that works, if the courtyard is out in the middle of the field somewhere. Secondly, they also were built beside houses, and here it's not stones, obviously, it's a fence. Rob and I, we were in Bonaire, and we saw fences. What were they made of, Rob?
Cactus,
yeah. They had fences around the properties, and the fences were made of cactus. And the cactus with their sharp pins, right? Man, needles, long, hard. You weren't going to climb over that. Very dangerous. And they had cacti all the way around the property. First time I've seen that. So they use these plants, cacti, for a fence. Well, here they're using different pieces of wood. And right there, I don't know if I can do it, is the gate. Shepherd is just standing by the gate. So there are different ways to build the sheep pen. But the main point that Jesus wants to make is that the shepherd enters the pen and calls the sheep by name. That's important. All of the sheep are named. And then the sheep follow when they hear their name. Interesting, right? Apparently sheep aren't all that smart, but they are smart enough to know their name when their name is called. So the shepherd enters, calls the sheep by name. The sheep listen to his voice and they go in. If they don't recognize the voice, they don't follow. So that's the figure of speech, right, that Jesus is saying. So an application before we get into the meat of the text, which follows, which is the explanation of the parable or the figure of speech, verses 1 to 6, we know that Jesus is our shepherd, and note he calls us by name to follow him. He calls you by name. He knows your name. That's important to understand. So this is not, as I note, a mass automatic email that goes out to everybody. This is the Lord of the universe calling you by name. I don't know, have you ever heard the Lord calling you by name? Could be audibly, could just be quietly in your heart, in your mind. And you recognize your name is being called. And you understand. I think I told you the story of one night I was sleeping, and I heard a voice in my ear, and it said, Alan. It woke me up. It was so stunning. It was like right close to the ear. Alan. Spooked me right out. So I don't know where that voice came from, but it was a wake-up call to me. Listen, be aware. God speaks. He calls your name. He knows your name, and he wants you to hear and follow. So the first is he calls, but then we are also to follow. No one forces you to follow. Jesus does not force you to follow. It's up to you. Are you going to follow? So I don't know where you're at this morning. Wherever it's going on in your life, is God calling you? Is God speaking to you? And he wants you to follow him. The song we're going to use after the sermon is, God, turn this thing around. God, turn this thing around. You know, when I chose that song, God, turn this thing around, a few, I don't know, months ago, I guess, I thought, well, this song is kind of a hip, kind of younger song. I think it's kind of cool. But then Bonnie was visiting someone older, and she was saying, the song I really love is God, Turn This Thing Around. And I thought, you know what, that's cool. Someone who, I believe, is in her 80s, is saying, I love that song, God, Turn This Thing Around. God, turn this thing around, calls to us by name. So wherever you're at, what's going on in your life, that's where this figure of speech, verse 6, begins. I took this picture in Bolivia, I think it was last year, and here is the shepherd, this woman, walking through the field, and we note her two sheep following. Now, she has one of them on a tail there, a lead. Normally that wouldn't be the case, but they're following her. I thought, well, you know, that's a pretty good picture. That's how it works. So then we go on, and we go on to the explanation of the parable, right? So that sheep pen, you got to hold it. I don't know if you ever seen one out in the country somewhere in farming areas, a sheep pen. That's the picture we have here. So a little bit of the text. So Jesus again said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. There's the I am statement. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. When Jesus says that, he obviously is not saying everyone who came before me, because obviously the prophets came before him, and they understood and spoke the truth. He's speaking to their context right then and there. These folk who you're hearing critiquing, don't listen to them. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. That's how I'd understand the text. But Jesus says, and all the feeding miracles are about this, there is abundance in Christ. If you are saved eternally, then you have abundance. But we have to choose not to live in scarcity. And you know what? Nobody can talk you into that. You have to do your work to get there. And I have to do my work to get there. Scarcity or abundance. Trusting in the proximity of the shepherd. Here's a quote from Bruce Milne, who is a pastor at First Baptist Church in Vancouver, which is a CBO, which is a Baptist church, part of our confederation. Wonderful man who now is no longer with us, but he wrote a number of books. First Baptist Church is right downtown in Vancouver, and now it has a big new structure with condos. Everything that we're talking about, they've already done it, right downtown, just finished a year or two ago. But know what he says. When the people of Christ have forgotten this, the scarcity abundance issue, and tried to ensure unity or safety by building walls around themselves, the results have not been encouraging. The walls have either been so comprehensive as to enclose a number of wolves along with the sheep, with disastrous consequences for the sheep, or they have been so restrictive as to exclude more sheep than they enclose. So we can try to build walls. And what happens with the walls, Milne is saying, we're keeping people out. So I just found that interesting because, I mean, he's one of ours. This guy was deeply respected in the Western Conference. He writes these words. So we have to be careful with whatever walls we build, personally and also as a church family. We build walls when we're afraid. We build walls when we're anxious. I just read an article this morning. I passed it along to Tom, Pastor Tom. And it was on CNN, and it's about an amazing church in Atlanta right now. And people are lining up to go to this church in Atlanta. And so there's this long article on CNN. Go home and read that article. And what he says is mostly a younger church, 20s, 30s. The leadership of that church say that the issue that the young people, youth, are more concerned about than any other is anxiety. If you're younger, I'm not sure if that's what you're at or not, but that's where they go. Younger people are anxious. And so their whole focus is on trust and confidence in God, and everybody is welcome. Big focus of them. No walls. And they're exploding. They send out, like you'll read it, 20, 25 buses. They send out buses all over Atlanta to pick up young people to bring them to church. It'd be fun to visit that place sometime. So there is what Bruce Milne is saying. Fear or scarcity or abundance. We have to decide where we're at on that. And then finally, we have the Good Shepherd. He's calling us, invited to life, invited to good pasture, and then finally in verse 10, life to the full. Note verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The word life is zoe. We know about that, eternal life. Abundantly means over and over above. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Abundance, not scarcity. So how does that work? How can you have abundance if you're living in one of the apartments up and down Weston Road and you're having a hard time making enough money to pay your bills, but you're a believer and you're sitting there and you're hearing that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So how do we have life abundantly in the midst of challenging times and challenging days? I mean, that's the nut we have to crack, right? But I think we can, as we focus on Jesus. Jesus will enable us. Follow him, look to him, direct your eyes to him, pay attention to him. Life to the full, life that they might have it abundantly. Abundance, not scarcity. Joy, not legalism. Life for what we were created. Does not mean necessarily long or rich lives, but true life, abundant life. Henry Nouwen was asked one time when he was getting a little older. He only died, I think, in his mid-60s. So it wasn't that old. And he said, you know, my life, this before he even knew he was sick, is not about how long I live. That's not the goal, how long I live. The goal is to stay true to the Lord while I'm here. It's not about length of years, but following and staying close to the shepherd, right? Any of us can live shorter time, but we can still have abundance in Christ. Having said all there, where do we go? So this is the season of Lent. So I invite you this week to make a personal inventory. What's going on in your life in this season of Lent? Okay, whatever age you are, younger, older, university student, mid-career, retired, what's your life about? What do I want to see happen in my life right now? Make that inventory. What do I need to change? What is my direction? Where am I going right now? Personal inventory. You have to do your work. I think that would be a good exercise in this season of Lent. Secondly, be aware of God's blessings. an attitude of gratitude, and particularly in your mind. Be conscious of God's goodness to you in your mind, what you're thinking about, how you're looking and trusting to Him. How can I be grateful here and now, even amidst the questions that you face? And then thirdly, keep choosing. Keep choosing life, Christ, not darkness. Last week, Pastor Bonnie preached a very good sermon on choosing light, not darkness. I talked to someone at one point in passing, and this person believed in I don't even know what they call it, but in her mind, in her spirit, she could travel all over the world in her mind. She could appear in the Ukraine and look at her family, looking down, watching them. I thought that was a little weird, but she fully believed it. And you know what she said? She said, I can do all that, but when you see the light, you go the opposite way. You don't go towards the light. You always go to darkness. Because if you don't go to darkness, you're never getting back. That was her belief. Don't go towards the light. Go towards darkness. Jesus says, I am the light. We are to go towards the light. So we have our own personal inventory to do, and we have to ask ourselves, am I going towards light or am I going towards darkness? And it's a choice there. Keep choosing life. Keep choosing Christ. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. Let's enter by Him. Praise Him, walk with Him, in Jesus' name, amen.